Hello, everyone. Welcome again to the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. Like always, God is good, and He is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. I love the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came to take us forward. He came to help us out. He came to bless us. He came to help us know God. He came with a mighty purpose. And Satan is very afraid of the Holy Spirit. He's afraid of the ministry of the Holy Spirit among the people that love God. Satan had to scratch his head. How am I going to shut this down? I won't be able to do anything with people anymore if they fall in love with God and are guided by the Holy Spirit. I got to make people misunderstand the Holy Spirit. I got to give them a narrative that will exclude the Holy Spirit. I got to teach them another gospel. I got to raise up people to stop this. And he ordered his demons years ago to mess up everything. And you know, when mankind entered the dark ages, he thought he got away with it. But guess what? God always have a remnant of people that break through. I love it. I love it. God always has a remnant that break through. You know, there's always some that just won't take no for an answer. And they figure it out and they bring it back. You know, years ago, I used to watch a TV show when I was a kid, Columbo. People would always think they outsmarted him, figured out how to defeat him. And then he'd always have one more question. Just when they thought they had him, he'd turn everything around against them. And they couldn't outsmart him. That's how people are that love God. They don't take no for an answer. They draw near to the Lord, and the Lord brings help them come back. And they live the life of God. And they show people the better way. See, when people walk in the light and bear fruit, people can think what they want, but when they see the light, they have a comparison. And people that's honest, they want what's better. There are many people that would love the life of God. But the false narrative that they already accepted, because last week we were talking about narratives, and I'm going to explain more about them. Once you have a false narrative, it's hard to value the narratives of God. Because you don't have a reference, a comparison for it. Now, a long time ago, Satan did all the things I just described because he couldn't do anything with the early church. Now, remember something now. There were only 120 disciples praying in the upper room. And there were people that had believed on Jesus. But the Lord did something. And he started working among them. And the religious institution didn't like it and couldn't stop it. The enemy is against it. So if you follow God, you got to understand you're about to realize the war that you're already in. Everybody's in this war, whether they love God or not. If you love the world, you've already lost. People say, well, you preachers, y'all just judging me. You judging me. No. You're already judged. If you didn't, for everybody that did not believe on Jesus Christ as their Savior and their Lord and walk in His way, you are half dead. If you die, you will be immediately taken to the fire of hell. I asked a friend of mine, he said he saw that he died. I said, what'd you see? He said, fire. I said, whoa. And he loves God now. I've been to hell myself. I saw it. The Lord saw it. He took me there in 1986. So I'm not just, the scriptures is a more sure word of prophecy. The fact that the word of God said that people are going to go, that's much greater than what happened to me when the Lord took me. But as a witness, if I tell the truth, I have to tell people God took me to hell to let me see it. One night I was asleep. He took my spirit down there and I saw it. I felt the heat of it. I saw people fall in it. It's real. Don't go. Learn the ways of God. If you've never asked the Lord to save you, if you've never considered the word of God, give it a chance. The Lord said, taste and see that the Lord is good. You need to know this for yourself. Some things you just can't allow people to tell you. You know, some people will tell you anything. Politicians will tell you what they want you to know. People will tell, kinfolks will tell you what they want you to know for whatever reason. They'll tell you how God is and never read the Bible. They'll tell you what they'll think just as fast as they'll strike a match. So you have to give God a chance to express himself. Study what he said and ask questions. Give it a chance so that you'll have a new narrative to live by. Now, when you start studying the word, you fill your heart with his word. It's going to minister to you. And you're going to receive life and you're going to be able to make better judgments. You're going to have new vision. If you're raising children, you want their lives to work. You want them to go forward. You need vision for that. You need the guidance of the Holy Spirit is available to you. You don't have to raise them by yourself. Your wife may have left if you're a man, or your husband may have left if you're a woman. And you got these children and you want their lives to work. You want them to have a good life. You don't have to give them to somebody else because you don't feel. And all you have to do is pray and include the Lord in your life. He will guide you. Now, last week we was talking about how people live by the narratives that they believe. Now, if a person, there's a scripture in Proverbs. I won't go to that one yet. But it says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he won't depart from it. Now, this is why. He has a comparison. When he go out there and make a mess and get his butt kicked by the world, he remembered what mama taught him and what daddy taught him and what the pastor taught him at church. There are many people. I used to work for myself, and I worked at people's houses. I used to have a mobile auto service back in the 80s, and I used to go around in my truck and fix people's cars. And while I'm working on the car, sometimes in the spring or fall, sometimes even in the summer, they sit on the front porch and they talk on the phone while I work on the car. I could hear what they was talking about, and eventually I hear the problems that they're going through, and sometimes I was able to minister to them. But the happiest people took their families to church. The children that were more apt to finish college and enter a career and raise a family, they had a support system called church. They took their children to church. The local church is a support system all by itself because they're giving people a more godly narrative. It's difficult to go forward in this life. There are so many challenges in every direction. But the pastors, which I love good pastors. They help families stay together. They help children. They have a focus of God, and God helped them through whatever they had to deal with. And there's a lot of traps out there, but they sprung them. And sometimes they got trapped. And then through prayer, they got out of the trap of life and they got back into living a godly life. Now I've been going to church all my life, and my dad was one of the good pastors and his friends that were pastors. So I was around godly people. In my world, why not follow God? Even though I didn't get saved, I was much older. because I wanted to know that I would do right, and I had to make up my own mind. I was interested in the world somewhere. So when you're interested in the world, it will hinder you from coming to God. But when you go out there and get your butt kicked, you find out. And I want to put it in a way where you'll know it. You don't need to forget this. People, when they play with the world, they get their butt kicked. And then they have a comparison. Now, that was a man named King Solomon. King Solomon, he wrote the Proverbs when he was in fellowship with God. He married those crazy foreign witch wives that he married, together with the daughter of the king of Egypt. They turned his heart. The Lord warned him not to marry those witchy women. Now, they didn't say that they were witches, but they were very beautiful. He made those marriages to make alliances with other nations. And he had all those wives, and they were crazy. And they turned his heart. But in chapter 4 of Ecclesiastes, he says, "So I return." Now, the Lord had appeared to Solomon twice to come back to fellowship with him, and he wouldn't do it. But I believe eventually he did, because he had a comparison. And the same scripture that he wrote in Proverbs, "Train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it." All right. He was raised by David and David's mother and his mother, Bathsheba. So he played with the world. His parents had played with the world. So why not think that if you got parents that are fooled with the world for a while, the children are no different. But nevertheless, he was trained in the way he should go. He got out of bounds with the world. He was still the king. And he could hide his idolatry because he was the king. But eventually, he returned. I say that because in chapter 4, he returned. Now, Ecclesiastes is a book that he wrote that he's writing about his time on earth while he was out of fellowship with God. He was into idolatry and all kind of wickedness. And he wrote about it. And in chapter 2, it talks, you know, he said that he gave the world a chance. He wanted to see what it was like. You have to read it for yourself. But in chapter 4, he says, "So I return." He went out there in the world and got his butt kicked. Then he came back. Because false narratives, your life can't grow right. And he figured that out. And he came back and wrote about Ecclesiastes. That's when he wrote Ecclesiastes. Because life in God's house, if you're in the kingdom of God, it is not vanity of vanities. The devil's kingdom is vanity of vanities. All in the world, in the world system, in the devil's kingdom is vanity. The whole thing is unfulfilling. And everybody who play with it, they're baited. So he came back. Now, the Lord loves us, and he didn't give up on us just because we were crazy and played with the world, me included. He loved me anyway. He heard the prayers of my parent, and he rescued me. And they came, I got saved. I thank God for it. Now, these broadcasts are on newlivingletters.com, newlivingletters.com. The date is in the link. Click on today's date, and you can hear the whole broadcast. These broadcasts are almost 30 minutes long instead of 15 minutes. We played the first 15 minutes on the radio, but go to newlivingletters.com. And you can download this broadcast. It has much more to it, and all of them do, onto your device. And you can listen to it whenever you want to. Now, continuing. God loves us, and he put things in order for us. The Holy Spirit came to help us conquer life. He'll guide us into all truth. Now, next week, we're going to cover how, you know, God has been lied on. And given, and people, the enemy, he can't fight it, but he'll give you a false narrative, because with a false narrative, you can't do any better. You can't fight Satan if you think like him. Never forget that. You cannot win against Satan if you think in any form like him. And the word of God helps you to believe God's word, and you'll think like Christ, who overcame the world, death, hell, and the grave. Listen to the winner. Not the loser. Before you build your narrative system, listen to the winner. Jesus is the winner. Give him a chance. Don't let people tell you what he like. Read it for yourself. And then draw near to the Lord and he'll draw near to you. Now, the Lord loves us. In Acts chapter 1, a record was given by Dr. Luke. And I read the first verse. It says, "The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, Ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons." You hear that? "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power." The Lord sealed Revelation. He also sealed Daniel. He gave us a synopsis of what will happen. Then he sealed it. So people are trying to know it, and they usually come to wrong conclusions. That's just an aside, so I'm coming back. Verse 8 says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and unto to Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfast toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." So they returned unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, up into the upper room, where abode both Peter, James, and John, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. All these continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. So Jesus' brethren were there. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. That's terrible. That's what happened to Judas. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in their proper tongue a seldama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, "Let the habitation of the desolate, and let no man dwell therein." And his bishopric let another take. Wherefore, of these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be obtained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, and who was named Justus, and Matthias, and they prayed and said, "Thou, Lord, which knowest the heart of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Now, okay, I wanted to get to this chapter. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. Pentecost. The Lord introduced the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. This is 50 days after what we call Easter, which is really the Passover. The holiday Easter comes from, that was a blend of a pagan holiday and the Passover. And Easter comes from the word Ashtaroth, or Esther, which was an idol, basically. In Rome, they wanted the people to get along, so they made the Passover, they celebrated Esther, or Ashtaroth, and that's how they came up with Easter. But I don't really recognize Easter, I recognize Passover, and Pentecost was 50 days after that. That's when people will come back to Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. And so it's important to understand our history. And this history is very important. We need to know the Lord. We need to understand his word, his ways, and his will. Everything that he does for us is very important. And the Holy Spirit is going to help us remember something. In the early days, they didn't have the New Testament yet. They just had the Old Testament and a reference for what happened. Because God loved his people, he selected to introduce the Holy Spirit on a day when people would be in town coming together for Passover from all over the world. Now let's continue. If you've heard negative things about the Holy Spirit, go back to the Word and get your reference only from the Word and not the negative things of men, because those false narratives will keep you out of the loop. Even if you're a Christian and you're in covenant with God going to heaven, if you resist the power of the Holy Spirit, your life won't work as good, because the Holy Spirit will help you make godly decisions and come out of false narratives into living narratives. Now, verse 2 says, all right, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. See, at the Tower of Babylon, God, he confounded man's language. On the day of Pentecost, he got their attention with language. I'll read that one again. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we, every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? They knew that they had never left Galilee, or they didn't leave far from it. But they heard, now we hear every man in our own tongue wherein we were born. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, the dwellers of Mesopotamia and in Judah and Cappadocia and in Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, in Egypt, and in the parts of Libya and Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, "What meaneth this?" And others mocking said, "These men are full of new wine." There are always people that will believe a false narrative. And this is one in verse 13. Others mocking said, "These are men full of new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "Ye men of Judah, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken unto my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day." People didn't drink at that time. "But this is that." I love this scripture. "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is what Satan is afraid of. "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by the miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you all, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have slain and crucified, whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with my countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his grave is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing what that God had sworn with an oath to him, that the fruit of his loins according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne." See, Christ is a true narrative. Christ is true, and we need to know him. He seen this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus has God raised up, wherefore we are all witnesses. So when he was preaching, it goes on and it lets us know that 3,000 people got saved, 3,000 men. Now I got to stop here. But as you study the book of Acts, this is your history. This is what God has done for you. And the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. And Jesus Christ is our Lord.